The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Jay Martin joins me this morning. Jay Martin is the man over at Siskiyou.news, and he puts up a lot of stories that a lot of other places are not as friendly to, I suppose. And so I think he is worth getting to know a little bit better. Jay, it's good to have you on. Welcome.
Thanks, Bill Meyer. I appreciate the time and opportunity.
Jay, tell us a little bit about how you ended up starting this news portal in Siskiyou County and how long you've been doing it, first off.
This has been a 24-hour labor of love for the last couple weeks, or couple years.
Okay.
Excuse me. And prior to that, it was owned and operated by another journalist that had a physical printed newspaper over in Siskiyou County and Scott Valley area by the name of Daniel Webster. He started out at, went to college, and he had the Pioneer Press. And then when things were a downturn about 13 years ago, he took things to the internet via Facebook and social media. And when he offered it to me, it certainly wasn't something I was interested in, but my business idea was to make it web-based, and that's where I built Siskiyou.news.
Okay.
And then from there, I've actually taken it to a physical print, going backwards.
Oh, okay.
From everywhere else.
So you're starting web and going physical print. All right, that's very interesting. You know, I'm keeping in touch with various other places. Does appear to be a home for this. I know that Richard Edmonds at the Josephine County, or Oregon Eagle, rather, has been doing great guns, or, you know, working pretty well to get this kind of stuff out, because there's been a lot of flux in the print and just even the electronic media, too. There's been a lot of churn, I guess, over the last few years. Wouldn't you agree? A lot of things coming and going, I guess.
They do. It's, brass tacks is revenue dollars, and there's not a lot of revenue dollars into our small area because of our demographics.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really have to be grassroots, and it's a lot. You know, it's more of a commitment and labor of love to do what's right than versus, you know, being a profiteer.
What happens, though, when people try to share your journalism? And I'm wondering if I'm the only one that has had this happen. I don't think I am. But I know that you have Captain William E. Simpson on every now and then. He'll write articles for you. Of course, he'll talk about the Wild Horse Fire Brigade, but he's been getting into a lot of environmental issues involving the Klamath Dam removal. And we've had some real problems with all this sediment going through. I ended up, there was a water sample that was given to me that Grants Pass Water Lab ended up testing. And a number of weeks ago over at Happy Camp is where it came. And it was just miserable water quality. Now that we're having some rains, it might be a little bit better at this point. I don't know. But we're having all sorts of reports about fish coming in. And I have no doubt there are fish, you know, coming in. My question is, though, how healthy are they and how are they going to be able to spawn? And have we really fixed much of anything? And I try to share some of those stories, and I just get shut down on social media, it seems. In fact, that people will say that I'm spamming, you know, somehow. And what's going on? Can you tell me what's happening when I try to share your stories?
The fight is real. I actually got a text at 11:59 or 11:57 last night. My Facebook page was actually down, and people weren't able to share a video. I went out yesterday afternoon on the private property and filmed some fish coming up through. They were working red. They were relaxing in some calm, still water.
Okay.
Building up steam for their next charge. And even that gets throttled back. When you even try to be positive and say, yes, there are fish, you know, mind you that a couple years ago, the same stream, you could literally walk across the backs of the fish. What the locals told me and the property owners told me, that it used to look like sardines in a tin can.
Oh.
And now there's like one or two fish. There are fish, and they will respond. And, you know, this is a natural stream. It's never been, for lack of terms, molested by man. It's never been part of the conservation programs where they've got in there and done work. This is just it's a beautiful stream, and there are fish in there. There used to be a lot more in the past. But this is the problem, is these fish that are spawning in the main stem, which I have videoed them in the main stem, and that is where the sediment is. And there was just a paper that was put out. It's actually an old paper. It's amazing how doing research things pop up. But they quantified it and said for every 1% of sediment, you have a reduction in survival rate of 16%. That's phenomenal.
So you have 6% of increase in sediment, or 6% sediment, you could extrapolate that into being almost all of your fish die. They may make it through, or they may be swimming through it, but they won't survive, is what's going to happen, right?
It suffocates the next generation. So it's the natural eggs that are laid in the streams that are going to be the problem next year when they go to emerge.
How does it get control, or who controls what is getting censored on social media in this particular case? Is this just the bots? Or does this is where I get a little conspiratorial, or is it one of those things that, KRRC, let's say, buys lots of advertising? I don't know if they do, but let's say KRRC is buying lots of advertising on, we'll just toss out Facebook. I don't know if they are or not. I've not seen that. But if they end up buying a lot of ads on Facebook, let's say, talking about, look at the magic fish, the wonderful magic fish that are here, ignoring the fact that the magic fish, there used to be a lot more of them back before you blew up, blew down hundreds of millions of cubic yards of sediment down the Klamath River. Is there a possibility that they end up buying not just ads for themselves, but censorship for someone who's trying to tell a different story? I'm just curious. Do you know?
Well, what I do know, and this is, a little bit of web searching and due diligence on anybody's part, you will find that they actually hired this company called CEA Consulting. Mm-hmm. And they are the who's who of media fixers. You know, their clientele is Google and Facebook and Nestle and Nature Conservancy and Trout Unlimited. And you start looking through their clientele, and it's very alarming.
The implication being that there's a lot of money that comes through those particular groups. And so the Googles and the social media platforms will bow to them. To what's the narrative that you want? We'll make sure and give it to you good and hard, that kind of thing.
Well, it is. And, and I have to say that I'm Irish, so my Irish comes out a little bit sometimes. And I will put some hot topic out on a Saturday afternoon, so that way it gets the marinade for a good 24 hours or so before the Monday morning crew shows up and goes, oh boy, we got to start getting everybody to tell an opposite story or try to discredit. And that's what I've run into that's the most alarming, was the attack that I had was very alarming.
What attack did you?
$2.5 million.
Yeah, what attack was brought on you, Jay? Jay Martin, by the way, is here, and he's the owner of Siskiyou.News. What was that, Jay?
So the one that got, besides the censorship and the constant being called a spammer and Facebook pulling down the post, that's kind of become normal. But what was really alarming was $2.5 million worth of fraudulent activity on my website. So there was $2.5 million worth of attempted transactions at $20 a pop. And it didn't crash my website. I use Paywall Project, which he's a pioneer in the paywall industry. I've been very blessed to have some really good young people that understand this stuff.
Okay, first off, why would anybody be trying to to do fraudulent activities on Siskiyou.News or, you know, do transactions, because all you can do is take money. All you can do is be paid, right? All you can do is be paid. That's all if you're going to donate or something like that. Or is there something else going on there that I'm unaware of?
No, and it's really not. It was what was interesting on this attack was it was credit cards, and there was over 10,000 transactions, and when it
transactions by whom or what type of people were they, your readers or somebody else?
Well, this was all across the country, but all the addresses that were inputted from the credit cards all came back to a Chick-fil-A in Orlando, Florida.
Okay. All right.
Right?
Yeah. To what end, though? I mean, is this just about having you shut down or just shutting you down or overwhelming you? I mean, what's the purpose? Because it wouldn't seem that there would be any benefit to someone using fraudulent credit cards on your site, because it's not going to make them any money, or will it? How does that work? I don't know what's the purpose of it. Help me understand.
And this is unsubstantiated, but my gut feeling was if I would have taken just one of those $20 transactions, they would have hammered me for fraud.
Oh. Okay. All right. So we flood this little news site, this upstart news site in northern Siskiyou County, Siskiyou.News.
Yeah.
We flood it with fraudulent attempted credit card transactions. Jay Martin, if you end up saying, oh, okay, so you wanted to donate to this one, you take the money, and then bingo, they got you.
Huh. Exactly. And not only that, but it's pretty hard for someone in my capacity to not know that that wasn't fraud.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it didn't happen. I'm glad that didn't happen to you. But why?
No, the first thing I did, believe it or not, was I took screenshots of everything that went on, and I actually sent it to a couple lawyers, and I also sent it to our DA. Right, the first thing, within minutes that I was made aware of this, I brought the law in on my side. That way, if something was to come down the pipeline, that I am not hiding.
Oh, good, yeah. Know, yeah, and I would imagine since you know you're actually you know a low dollar kind of a kind of outfit, it would be tempting when you see lots of money coming in. Oh, I better take these donations, right?
Well, not only that, yes, it is tempting, but I look at it as my credibility can't be bought, you know? I mean, I do.
Oh, no, I get that.
People.
No, I get that. Yeah. I know that no one's trying to send you $20 or $30 or whatever it is and say, oh, by the way, knock off on the KRRC stories. But, you know, I don't think that's what we're talking about. But that's a very interesting theory, though, that it might have been an attempt to actually just take you down and find you, oh, well, you're, you know, conducting fraudulent activities here. Even more reason to restrict your posts. Now, why is it, though, can you answer, when I try to share Captain Bill Simpson's article as an example that, or that you had there about research shedding light on the sediment impact as Klamath sees historic dam removal, okay? You actually wrote this, pardon me. And I tried to share that a few days ago, and then Facebook will then say, this is spam. How can it be
correct
spam? How can it be spam? It looks like you're trying to get clicks and shares. Why is it that I could share a New York Times article and nobody says anything about it? Why could I share a KOBI article and I don't see any problems with it? They may not go very far because Facebook doesn't like you leaving Facebook. But what I'm just trying to figure out, why do they call you spam? And what could be done about this, if anything at all, Jay?
Well, I actually, every time, not every time, but a lot of my posts, they will actually, as soon as you hit the post button, it'll bounce back as being pulled. And then I can petition them to reexamine it, or they give me a question. Is this relevant to our industry? Is this important information? And I do fill out those criteria, and, you know, and then Facebook gets back to me and says, oh, you know, let us look at it. We'll get back to you in a couple of days. And I've never heard from them in the last 2 weeks. Now, what's even crazier, they have actually gone back to all the way 2018 polling posts. And just recently, they have started pulling comments on my posts. They're actually pulling comments now.
Huh. Wow.
Because as a small guy, I can't research everything. And it's one of those fascinating things that when you put something out on Facebook, a lot of times in the comments, there's somebody that has more knowledge on a particular subject. So you actually kind of farm information.
Yeah.
It's very handy that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then sometimes people will go, oh, whoa, you need to look at this study from agency XYZ that was done that counters what's going on. And they were told and warned not to do this.
Yeah.
So then I go take this information. I read it. Sometimes, luckily, it might be 50 pages. Sometimes they're 400 pages. And then you're like, wow, okay, this needs to be written about. So you write about it, and it's instantly going, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. They throw it right back in your face. And the problem is they've created such a narrative on the positive spin with everybody falling in line on the dam removal process that little guys like me, even California Globe, had some issues for a little while. I could not get CalMatters to say whether they've had feedback to where they were throttled back. But I know that several news outlets, if they're not independent, they are throttled back on this dam removal.
Or if they are independent, they're throttled back. Isn't that really what you meant to say?
Well, if you're independent, it's brutal.
Yeah.
My Facebook stuff right now is down 77%.
Have you considered maybe switching to X or Rumble or doing something a little bit differently? You know, maybe in the near future?
I am. I'm seriously looking at moving over to X. The problem is, and I don't know if this is a problem or not, but we in Northern California, Southern Oregon, really, and I use this term loosely, but we're kind of Facebook junkies. Mm-hmm. That's where the numbers are, and that's where the people are. And to do a good news service, you got to take it to the people.
Unfortunately, the Facebook bots and various other things are really good at suppressing this kind of information. And it seems like it's kind of one size fits all. If you're anything other than dog and cat videos, maybe what you should do, there you go. This is what you got to do. This is what you do. Instead of having a hand with a bunch of muck on the glove, which is what you have on research, sheds light on sediment impacts as Klamath sees historic dam removal. Jay, what you need to do is embed a cat or a kitten video in there with it, and then it'll go through the bots. Have you thought about that? How about that?
I find that what causes the most problems is the titles of the article.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep, I think that's the first thing the bots see is the title. And if I wordsmith the titles, they will stay up a little bit longer sometimes, but it has gotten to where it is monitoring what's going on in the comments. And it is deciphering the direction. Now, Facebook has told me that this is work in progress because I have, you know,
it's a work in progress. They want to work to the point where you no longer exist or where alternative thought is not allowed to percolate through. This is where I get concerned about the news sites that get throttled back. I mean, I know that I've been throttled back, for years, but I've just kind of dealt with this. But when you actually share legitimate news going on in your community and it is considered spamming, I have a real concern about this. And I just want people to be aware of this because people, they would try to share it from my page then and people would say, oh, they're saying it's a spam. It's a problem. I say, this is legitimate journalism that is going on here. You know, the stupid press releases from KRRC on all the other channels, they just sail through. Right. But anything that questions this narrative is throttled back. And, how can you have inform citizens if what the citizens need to know is not allowed to go around? I appreciate what you're doing here. Get back to me, though, about if you're going to switch platforms, because I'm considering doing pretty much the same thing for the same reason, because it's this is serious now and getting worse. It's not getting better. They may talk about this being a work in progress, Jay Martin, but the progress seems to be about squelching any dissent from the narrative, from the mainstream narrative, what's out there. Okay, I'll give you the final word on that.
This is so crazy. This is real. This absolutely is real. A lot of people aren't aware of this, but we had a fire in Scott Valley to where both Cal Fire and myself got throttled back trying to push out some evacuations. We needed people to know that there was a fire in a subdivision, and we needed people, you know, that's what we have to get a notice out. It literally is. This is what we got. You have watch duty, which a lot of people have the app for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to use different platforms. But both Cal Fire and myself got throttled back. And talking with the public information officer, we were like, this is crazy. And I asked the public information officer for Cal Fire. I said, can you get a hold of somebody in Sacramento that can get a hold of someone at a higher level and knock this off? I mean, this is a serious life and death threat.
Yeah, we're talking about public safety issues then, and when even the government agencies aren't able to get stuff through, it gets very concerning. Jay Martin, of course, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer over at Siskiyou.News, Siskiyou.News. And I know a lot of stuff that's been talking about the dam that has not necessarily been in line with the standard narratives has been repressed. And by the way, I think we want to take away from our little conversation is that no one's questioning that there are fish coming up. What the locals are saying, though, is that even a year ago, there was a lot more fish coming up, and that the damage on the main stem of the Klamath is not being talked about sufficiently. Would that be a fair assessment of where our takeaway is on this?
Absolutely. And, you know, the big thing is this is an experiment, and treat it as such. I mean, this is an amazing experiment for young people to study restoration and what goes on and cause and effect. But they want to hail this the glory to fix all, and that's not true. And my take on this is we had a pretty balanced system because we had fishery, we had power, and we have agriculture up in the upper Klamath Basin, Tule Lake area.
Yeah, and by the way, you also have to remember there's the beneficial use of the water with recreation too.
It is, and some of the narratives that's really hard for me to swallow is they like to say that this was never used for flood control. Well, on paper it never was, but during the winter they ran the reservoir at the lowest they could. So they had space for it to absorb runoff. You know, they didn't run it so it was full and any new water immediately had to leave. They actually had a cushion. And that is flood control by definition. You know, it was a bucket that was half full, so you could dump half a bucket in it before it overflowed.
Yeah, that's right.
So it could slow things down or slowly ramp water up. Now we have an unregulated, pretty much, river. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the spring or if we get any warm weather events during the winter.
Hey, I'll be curious of what happens next time a huge Pineapple Express. I mean, is it going to wipe out Happy Camp again, you know, at some point in the near future? You know, you used to be able to control some of this. To some extent, all right? All right. Jay Martin, once again, Siskiyou.News. Jay, I appreciate you sharing some of the issues of people trying to get news out of it and being repressed, and the battle continues. But thank you so much. And I would just dare say, if Northern California, just go to Siskiyou.News, just hit it directly rather than trying to go through social media channels for right now. Okay, appreciate the call. All right, you be well. Take care.
You too, sir.
All right. 7:35. This is the Bill Meyer Show, KMED, KBXG.
First, we place our sow's ear.
7:42. I appreciate you being here. Joining me in studio, Noah Robinson. Noah Robinson running for State Senate, Josephine County, parts of Jackson County. You know, I always screw up the district number. Can you help me out on that one?
It's District 2.
Okay, one more time on that.
District 2.
District 2. Okay, I always want to say District 2, District 3. Okay, one way or the other.
Who remembers all the district numbers?
Okay, well, let me just put it this way. If Noah Robinson ends up showing up in your ballot, you got to vote for him, okay? That's just the way we deal with it at this point. We haven't talked for a number of weeks, really, since the primary. What's been going on in your campaign since this time? You been going any place, or are you just kind of on a relaxed schedule? I mean, what? What's going on?
Well, we're taking it seriously. We realize this is a conservative district, and we should do well. But I'm doing some campaigning, running ads, speaking here and there, and just doing all our usual things besides all my usual work.
Yeah, what's your evaluation of what's going on here in state politics as we're getting ready to, you know, select a few new? Well, we had a lot of Republicans who are running for statewide office, and it's always a high lift. I know Will Lathrop's raised about $1.5 million or so in order to become the next attorney general. But, you know, he doesn't seem to want to answer too many challenging questions. A lot of people don't. I get that. But what do you think about that endorsement last week that came out of the Republican parties, you know, here in Southern Oregon?
Against Linthicum.
Yeah, Kim Wallen going for the...
Well, I was disappointed. I think it was extremely poor judgment. You realize Linthicum is everything the Republicans would want. He won the primary, you know, 2/3 of the votes, 3-1 against anybody else, without advertising even that much. He's a strong conservative. He's fantastic. Every issue you could want for a conservative, he's right on. Get the government out of your way. Pro Second Amendment. Everything. I don't see why we couldn't have a better candidate, and I don't know why you would do that. It's poor judgment.
Well, is it judgment, or is there something else in play here that maybe we're not aware of? Because I know Representative Kim Wallen, had her on the show several times over the years, and I wrote to her about that because I thought it was a joke or an AI fake at first. You know, that's yes. How you are. You know, you'll see something crazy come in, and then the first thing I go through, like, okay, is this real? And you find out, yeah, it was. And I wrote her about it, and I let her know that, hey, this is, you know, is this really going on? I never got any response back from it. And so I'm just wondering if there are shifts of alignment here in the state of Oregon that maybe a lot of Republicans aren't aware of where, you know, I don't know if people are just kind of understanding that, Democrats are going to win these seats here, so we better get along. And I'm wondering if there's a little bit of this, practical side of just trying to be relevant when you get into the state legislature next time. I don't know. We got a long session coming up next time, don't we?
Well, there is, I mean, without knowing, because I don't know why she did it, that everyone would say, well, she's doing it to get along, you know. Not even necessarily some deal in the works, but basically it makes it easier if she's worked with the Democrats. This is something that it's a fallacy. The Republicans often think that they have to vote with the Democrats in order to get along, to get a few concessions and so forth. It doesn't work. The state just gets further and further and further into the hole. I think the best approach, if the Republicans want to take back the state, the best approach is simply to take a very conservative, work with them on anything we agree with. Mm-hmm. But when we disagree, don't vote yes for it because we got the bill a little better. Because the Democrats are just going to introduce something horrible so that we can negotiate it back a little bit and get your vote.
It always starts bad, right? Always starts horrible, and then you just make it end up being not quite so bad. But it never is usually a good bill.
That's right. And so what you do is you just simply have a negotiation. The Democrats say, okay, we'll get a nice bipartisan vote if we make it extreme and then pull back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's fine for the Republicans to negotiate and say, hey, you need to make this not so bad. But if it's not good in the end, don't vote for it. Don't ever trade the vote and say, hey, if you just take out a few of these things, we'll tolerate it and vote for it. It's a bad idea. I think the Republicans want their legislatures to stand on principle wherever there's a principle involved.
I think the Republican voters do.
The Republican voters do. Unfortunately, that's not the same as the political class. And you remember that most legislatures are elected, they're more or less selected because they cannot raise the money to run unless the lobbyists and so forth support them. It's a problem in the state.
That's what I end up wondering, if that's what kind of drives these sort of things, because I would imagine that many of the Democrats hold sway over a lot of the political action committees in Oregon. Yes. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes. And even lobbies that traditionally would mostly go vote to conservatives are now give money to conservatives are now giving to both sides. I think it's getting worse because the Democrats have been in power for so long that they're sort of giving up and saying, hey, we're going to play both sides. And this is a bad time to do it. The Democrats have gotten really off the rails. This is the time to take the state back.
Okay. I think this is one of the reasons why you've been so successful in Josephine County, because you pretty much... from what I can tell, wish to do what Republican voters always talk about, them wanting their representatives to do.
Exactly. Look, when I give a speech, I talk to practically anybody and say, hey, I'm not going to make deals. I'm not going to sell you out. We're going to go entirely from principle. People love that. They just love it everywhere I speak about it. And, of course, I'm talking to Republicans.
Yeah.
But it's the number of people that say, hey, we want you to compromise. I mean, there's a few of them out there, but there's not many.
Yeah. When is it appropriate, you think, Noah, to cut a deal or compromise? Because sometimes there are some must-pass issues that have to go through. Are there any times that it's okay that even if it's not the best bill to join Democrats, anything comes to mind? Maybe something even your father did when he was state senator.
It varies. It varies a lot. It just depends upon what the issue is. And my dad generally took the view that if the bill had bad things in it, he would vote against it because it was better to try to say, essentially, we should come back with a better version. Mm-hmm. And that's really the best way. If you have 30 legislatures up there, all with their own points of view, not running as a herd, voting the way they think is best, which, of course, is not what we have.
Yeah.
But if you had that, then everyone would eventually settle on the legislation that makes sense. You wouldn't pass laws that were wildly controversial. We'd have the laws we needed. The things that needed to be funded would get funded. There are circumstances in which you compromise. I know there was a lot of controversy over the recriminalization bill. And my dad voted against that because in the political climate at the time, they had to pass something. And the Republicans should have stuck for something that didn't say, hey, you can only go to jail if you want to. At the same time,
and that's essentially what we have right now.
That's what we have.
Yeah, you go to jail if you want to.
A lot of police officers are saying, hey, we can at least stop these people now. It's an improvement. But we could have had something a lot stronger. And so he voted against it, even though
And had all the Republicans united in principle and saying, hey, listen, this is not that great of a bill. It may be the best that could be accomplished right now. But that doesn't mean you should give it political. See, this is the problem. When Republicans will then join in, all it takes is a few Republicans. Then all of a sudden, it's a bipartisan bill. Well, both sides agree.
Yeah, they get one and they call it bipartisan.
That's right.
And it just isn't. So it's not good. Look what happened. HB 2002, you know what caused the walkout.
Right.
Charlie Conrad was the only one to vote yes for, Republican to actually vote yes for.
And remind us, what was HB 2002?
That is the one. It increased abortion, but the main thing it did, it allowed them to do sex changes for children.
Oh, it was the gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care bill.
It was horrible. And they should never be doing these sorts of things to children. But Charlie Conrad voted yes for it for whatever reason. I have no idea. But he lost the primary. It was something like 83% to 17% because Republicans just wouldn't support that. They wouldn't support that sort of thing, him voting for it. Democrats don't support that sort of thing, and that just shows you how far off the rails the Democrats have become. I'll bet you that a lot of those Democrat legislators that voted for that sort of stuff didn't really like it, but it was the thing to do because it's the Democrat agenda now.
They were pretty much in line with the agenda.
Yeah.
Talking with Noah Robinson once again, he is running for a GOP, of course, Oregon State Senate District 2, and polling looking pretty good, I would imagine, here for you. Pretty strong conservative district, and that's good. What do you think is going to happen, if any, from what you've heard about the future of Senate Bill 762, because I don't think whatever solutions or even fixes have been coming through to this, this is one of the biggest attacks on rural land. This is the wildfire mapping bill that we've ever had to deal with. And I really do consider it an existential threat. And it surprises me that there is not more political blowback to, like, a state representative Pam Marsh or a state senator Jeff Golden, who sponsored and carried these bills. And nothing, there has not been, this side of a climate-friendly, equitable community executive order from Kate Brown, there has not been such an attack on rural lands in my lifetime here. in Oregon.
That's right.
And you know, is there enough heat and fire, no pun intended, to really get this repealed in some way? Or what do you think? Or is this just, you know, what are you thinking?
Well,
as a state senator, possible state senator.
Well, obviously, we'd like to repeal it. The Democrats are not going to let that happen. The ordinary landowners are really upset. They're really worried about it. How much blowback there is to the representatives, I know there's some. But, of course, at some point, people say, you know, is it going to do any good? So you can't really measure it by how many letters they sent to their representatives.
Well, what I'm wondering, though, is the system just going to go along? I noticed that Medford-Jackson Chamber PAC ends up endorsing Pam Marsh. I'm thinking to myself, yikes! You know, wait a minute, this is the person who is doing more to destroy Jackson County rural residencies that I can see. And we're going to endorse her? But I mean, you know, what we have to do?
What? Well, it's what you should not do, but it's what they're doing. Basically, it comes, they do something like that, and then we say, okay, we'll turn the page, we'll forget that, and then we'll go on and see what influence can we have next. By endorsing her, they figure they might have some influence, I suppose. Uh-huh. I hope they don't like the bill. But it's part of the system. And you look at these things. Like, again, we had a walkout. We lost 10 senators over a walkout.
Yeah.
Including my father, over some really bad legislation. And what we're doing, well, okay, that was in the past. We're going to go on. I don't think they should be let go on that. I think the Democrats should be hammered for what they did and said, we need, this is just poor judgment. We need better representation, people that will not do this representing us. And this needs to change. And I don't think we should just say, okay, we got 762, now we're going to deal with it. I don't know how we're going to deal with it. It is an enormous attack on landowners. A lot of them are just thinking, well, I'm not just going to let these guys in and tell me what to do on my property. Who knows how that will go? Maybe it'll get tied up in the courts. I hope something is done about it. But this has to stop, because otherwise the state is just going to go down and down and down. We're losing our freedoms very rapidly.
All right. State Senator candidate Noah Robinson's Noah, appreciate you coming in here. Anything else we should know before you take off? Maybe some events you're going to be putting on in Joe County or elsewhere?
Well, I'm down at the Republican headquarters occasionally. I'm talking at various events. I don't have anything specific, but my website's robinsonfororegon.com, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for letting me on.
Hey, appreciate you dropping by for a few minutes. Good to see you. And by the way, I also appreciate that Noah is sitting down, because he's so tall that normally he's outside of the Facebook Live frame. When it's just, you can't help it. Good genes, all
right?
Yeah,
I'm stuck with that.
All right. Thank you, Noah.
Thank you very much.
755 KMED.
We're thrilled to announce we're back with our Veterans Medal.
I don't think she persuaded them.
On News Talk 106.3 KMED.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
758 and change. Was poking in on KBXG 99.3 FM. I was listening to it on the way in this morning, and then things went off. And I don't know if it's a power or internet outage or what might be going on. And probably not going to be able to do much about it until I get off the air and then visit. And then it's going to be going a lot to Josephine County today, trying to fix 105.9 and get 99.3 back on. So anyway, sometimes it just happens. You know, it rains and then all of a sudden it pours, you know, a little bit. But anyway, that's what has been going on in my particular world. But of course, KMED.com works all the time there. And it's just nice and solid. And of course, the Facebook.com/Bill Myers Show feed, the Facebook feed is up there. Fine, until Facebook decides it doesn't like me either, all right? So some emails of the day, some more emails, and they're sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry. You'll find them at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. You can get an appointment there. And if you need some special mouthwashes, toothpastes, things like that, they have a kiosk at the store, which is right next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant on Freeman Way. And they sell it to customers at their cost. No profit on that whatsoever. They just want you to be healthier. centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And we're going to leave this anonymous here. But it says, Bill, I've been an avid listener, always found you a seeker of the truth. That being said, need to inform you of something until last Wednesday. I would never have believed. In order to maintain your credibility, I personally watched and counted several salmon at COPCO number one site. I'm as conservative as almost anyone, and still to my core believe that removing the Klamath dams was probably the dumbest thing anyone has done. But the salmon are on the river. All right. I can tell you, if one wanted to see the salmon returning to Fall Creek, which is the source of drinking water for Wairika, you travel up Siskiyou Road past Iron Gate to the Daggett Road intersection, which leads to the old Kopko Village site, now mostly removed. And so, anyway, the individual is talking about the salmon being there. I am not questioning that. I don't question that at all, letter writer, and I want to keep your name secret in that, okay? And I understand why you need to keep that secret. I don't question that there are some fish returning. What I am questioning is how are some of them getting up there through the muck that has been going through, that they've been going through, given the water testing that we had done down by Happy Camp. Now, it could be improving a little bit. Maybe that's going on and worth having a conversation. But what even Jay Martin was mentioning from Siskiyou News is that the actual number of salmon, even a year ago, was huge by comparison, and they're noticing damage to the run, most likely from having blown up the Klamath. So we're claiming that we're doing all of this. Remember, the original plan was to dredge all this out. And one of the first things we should be doing when you're if you're going to be forced to do something like this is to do no harm. Well, arguably, we're doing harm. And at the same time, the fact that we see some that are able to make it through the muck is not necessarily a sign of health, but yet it's being talked about as health. And I had that, gosh, on Clear Connections over the weekend, there was that that retired doctor, the watershed expert that was talking about it, that we're seeing way fewer fish, making it up. They're making it up way, way fewer. And one could argue when the river is running like chocolate syrup in some spots that this may have something to do with it. And yet it's almost like we're being told to believe that for some reason this is healthier than what we had before, which I don't think it is. All right. All right. Hans Albuquerque writes, Bill, the L.A. Times and Bezos WAPO see something very possibly changing in November, which is probably why they won't back the cackler. Plus, the Don met with Blue Origin just recently. Disgruntled ex-editors running in for the partisan exits, say a deal must have been struck. Regardless, listen to yourself, WAPO fawners. Supposed free press employees having little girl temper tantrums because ownership is now moderating their Marxist stance as a boot-licking state-run Pravda. Although the covers of prejudice against God-fearing, constitutionally-minded citizens are long soiled and exposed. Now, also, Bezos' Blue Origin is a much bigger fish to fry than some debt-ridden rag he uses for a tax write-off. Bezos is a businessman and is thinking about Space Force and DOD handouts to protect and grow his billions instead of just pure partisanship. Hans, that's a very good point about that. Carl Warden writes me, Bill, the other day, Kamala heard someone shout something about Jesus Christ, and she told the person they were at the wrong rally. There are times to run away from something, and there are times to run to something. In the case of an election, you can vote for the candidate you support, or you can vote for one candidate to stop their adversary from taking office. Trump is a half-assed Christian, and I was going to leave my vote for President Blank, but when I heard Kamala Harris make that comment, I realized a half-assed Christian is a whole lot better than a disciple of Satan himself. So my vote for Trump will be a vote against Kamala Harris. I have to cancel out the vote of at least one illegal alien in the process. Carl F. Warden. Carl, I appreciate your writing, okay? All right. People writing me about the Wallen endorsement, of the Democrat Secretary of State candidate last week. And Jonathan Ball writes, Bill, Representative Wallen having your cake and eating it too already through the primary, who else do Republicans have to vote for her Democratic opponent? Not going to happen. So by endorsing Tobias Reid, she gains great favor to bring money back to her district and more clout with Democrats while not worrying about being reelected. Win-win for Ms. Wallen and just another slap in the face of the voters. It's the system, Bill. Good luck changing it. JB, I appreciate that, JB. And finally, Pat Krikorian, who is a PCP, Jackson County Republican Party. She was having none of this. And a letter she wrote to Representative Wallen I was copied on. I'm not going to waste my time and energy saying much to you. However, your decision to support the candidate who will continue the devolution of Oregon into dystopia was a betrayal to conservatism. Dennis Linthicum, our golden opportunity to have a principled individual in our state government to get us back on the right path. Obviously, you don't have a clue about conservative beliefs or values. I've tolerated some of your decisions, which I don't agree with, but I supported you anyway. However, this is a betrayal. Unfortunately, I had already cast my ballot with a check by your name, but from here on out, will never get my vote again. I'm still canvassing and handing out materials. However, I've removed your name from them as a recommendation. Pat, appreciate your writing. A lot of people wrote me over the weekend like that. It's just that was an odd one. I don't know how that works out long term. But of course, everyone's vote is theirs and everyone's endorsement is there, too. But the thing is, if you're going to endorse as a state representative, you have to consider that that is supposedly as a representative of the people. Would your people overall support that? And one could argue, probably not. All right, let me go to... I'm going to hold the calls here right now. Let me have Town Hall News in just a moment. And then Dr. Powers will join me, where past meets present. We're also going to be talking a bit with the people from Parents Defending Education. What is this, all this nonsense about stolen land statements going on before the various government meetings? We'll kick that around, too.
We're here with Susan, who had her welder up by Clouser Drilling.